Amen. And praise the Lord for that special music tonight. If you would please open your Bibles, Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Looking at the story of Noah tonight. Again, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. The window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh. Wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them." Let's read verse 22 together. "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Let's read that together one more time. "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Tonight we're going to be speaking on the obedience of Noah, the obedience of Noah. Let's pray. Lord, I love you, God, and Lord, I'm so thankful for the opportunity that you've given us to come here tonight and worship you. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the message that you have for us in your word. God, I praise you up every one of us, Lord, for these next few moments to lay aside, Lord, all the thoughts on our mind, to lay aside, Lord, maybe the trials we may be going through or how busy we've been. God, lay aside any other thoughts, any other things on our mind, and Lord, think only on you and your word and what we can get from it tonight. Lord, be with me as I preach. Lord, I pray that you'd help me only to say what you'd have me to say. Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to get the message you have for us here in Genesis chapter 6 tonight. Lord, we love you and thank you. And we ask this in your name. Amen. There are so many good stories in the Bible. Remember as a boy in Sunday school, I'd learned the story of Noah. And I learned many others. One about Daniel. Daniel the lion's den, and how Daniel decided to make the right decision. And Daniel decided to follow God and obey God no matter what the earthly consequences may have been for him, and God protected Daniel. The story of Moses and the children of Israel, how Moses depended on God and God's strength when he went to the Pharaoh and asked to let his people go, and God brought the plagues. And then God, when the children of Israel had escaped, as he stuck his rod in the Red Sea, how God parted the waters there, and the power that God gave to help Moses. Think about the story of Jonah. How Jonah ran from God, and how Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh, and God's punishment on Jonah by swallowing up from the whale. And the story of David and Goliath. David, a little shepherd boy, one that was way overmatched in the world's eyes. But David, through the strength of God and his dependence on God, killed the giant. Then we have here in Genesis chapter 6 the story of Noah. And if you were to ask many people, even people that aren't in church, they would know this story and they would know what happened and they would know how Noah built the ark and him and his family and the animals got on and everyone was saved. And that is a story that we should all be thankful for and something that we should look to. But Noah is not just the man that built the ark and not just the man that God used to save the world. We see there's much more from Noah's life and the story of Noah that we can get from it. Noah was a man that exercised complete obedience to God. Since Adam and Eve, 9 generations and 1,500 years had passed from God, from Adam and Eve in the garden to Noah and the world here in this point. And we see an incredible contrast in the world from Genesis chapter 1 verse 31 to here in Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis 1:31, we see that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Five chapters later, we see here in verse 5, if you look at it with me, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." In 1500 years, we see because of the disease of sin, because of the curse of sin, the world had gone from a place where God was happy with it, where God was pleased and saw that it was good, to where he wished he'd never created man. The decay of sin had come upon the world. That word decay there, as we see in Genesis chapter 6, is a Hebrew word translated as corrupt. It's the same word that you'd use maybe with a dead body rotting away. Because of sin and because of the curse of sin on man, man was decaying. Man was getting worse and worse. And it came to such a point that we see in verse 7 that God said, "I will destroy man that I have created. Man and what I have created, I no longer want them to be living." But we see in verse 8 that God saw Noah. Verse 7, he says, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and every creeping thing. For it repenteth me that I have made them." In verse 8 it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." There was a man named Noah. A man who in the midst of wickedness, a man who in the midst of this decaying world, loved God and walked with God. And God found grace in Noah. God was about to come to Noah with a task. Every one of us know what that task is. And Noah, that task that he's about to receive, was one that many other men would look at and be taken back by. They wouldn't understand it. They would not be able to grasp it. Many men may laugh it off, or many men would not volunteer for it because of his extreme challenge. It was not going to be easy. But we find out here that Noah obeyed God. Let's look tonight at some characteristics of Noah's obedience. The first thing we see here in Noah's obedience is that he showed immediate obedience. He showed immediate obedience. God came to Noah, and he said, "The end of all flesh is before me. They are corrupt. I'm going to destroy them that are on the earth." He said, "Noah, I want you to build an ark of gopher wood. I want it to be 300 cubits long. I want it to be 50 cubits wide. I want it to be 30 cubits tall." If we were to compare that to something today, it'd be about 1.5 football fields long. If you were to stand it up on end, it would be as tall as the Pyramid of Giza. It was a big ark. It was a big ship. It was taller than a 3-story building. He said, "No, I want you to make this ark, and I want it to be this big. I want you to put pitch on the inside of it, on the outside of it, this tar-like substance that he put in there to seal it. I want you, and I'm going to bring waters and flood the earth. And I want you and your wife and your sons' wives to get on this ark, and I want 2 of every living creature, and I want you to stock it up with food, and I'm going to bring rain and destroy this earth." And Noah, upon hearing that, went and obeyed God. I like to imagine Noah as God was speaking to him, and as God finished his instructions for Noah, Noah was talking to God, and Noah said, "Okay." And he turned and he went home. He said, "Honey, I'm going to go build an ark." And he leaves. I'm sure his wife may have said, "What?" You know, I don't know what his wife thought, but Noah just went directly to obeying God. No hesitation. We don't see Noah here questioning God one single bit. We don't even see any hesitation in Noah. He immediately began his task. John MacArthur said, "One of the greatest practical acts of faith in all history was Noah's cutting down the first gopher tree for wood to make the ark." Now, we don't even know Noah's former occupation. We don't know what he did for a living. I'm pretty sure that he was not a boat builder. I'm pretty sure he wasn't in the business of building arks. And for any other person on earth, this task would have been one that was they were incapable of comprehending. But unimaginable for them. But Noah obeyed God. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. In Noah's immediate obedience, we see that immediate obedience requires faith. Requires faith. Hebrews 11, verse 7 says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Noah went and built the ark. This verse here is a sermon in itself, and very quickly I'm going to try and sum up this verse for us. The first thing we see here is that he had faith in the Word of God. When God spoke, Noah obeyed. The Bible says in Romans 10 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When God spoke to Noah, when God came to him with these words, with these instructions, Noah obeyed the Word of God. I believe that we could stop right there and we could have an altar call and everyone have something to deal with. When God speaks to us, we need to obey. We need to listen. We see that he had faith in the Word of God. We also see that he had faith in the unseen. It says, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen yet. Not only had there never been any kind of flood on the earth, but there was no rain. Rain did not fall from the sky. When God came to Noah with that, Noah could have been confused. Noah could have chosen to not believe it because it was something that he had not seen yet, but by faith, he believed. The Bible says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. There are many things in our life that we just need to trust God with, many things that are going to be in our future that we need to trust and believe that God will carry them out. He had faith in the unseen and he moved with fear. Noah's faith in God and his power is what caused him to move with fear and obedience to God. You know, our faith not only believes God in his promises, our faith should help us believe the consequences of disobedience as well. I have a quote I want to read you that's by Charles Spurgeon. It says, he who does not believe that God will punish sin will not believe that God will pardon it through the atoning blood. He who does not believe that God will cast unbelievers into hell will not be sure that he will take believers into heaven. If we doubt God's word about one thing, we shall have small confidence in it upon another thing. Sincere faith in God must treat all God's words alike, for the faith which accepts one word of God and rejects another is evidently not faith in God, but faith in our own judgment, faith in our own taste. In Noah's immediate obedience, we saw that he had faith in God, in God's promises, and in the consequences of his disobedience. But Noah, to this point, had not proved his faith. When Noah proved his faith was the moment he began to prepare that ark. The Bible says in James chapter 2, it says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Noah could have believed, Noah could have said yes to God, he could have said he believed him, he could have told people about it, but it wasn't until Noah took that first, started cutting down that first gopher tree, it wasn't until Noah took that hammer to the ark that he really was obeying God. His faith was shown in his works. You know, when we watch the weatherman, a lot of times it changes the way we live our lives. Brother Aaron talked about this on Sunday night. When we hear that a big winter storm is coming up, people go crazy. They go to find everything they can. They go and get their bread for their bread sandwiches. And they go and they get all these different supplies. They go and they run their errands. They go and get prepared for this storm. Sometimes it comes. Sometimes it doesn't. But many times we place our faith in a weatherman's forecast. And we show that we have faith in it by how we prepare for that. You know, many times we show more faith in the weatherman than we do in God. God has told us how we're supposed to live our lives. God has told us what's coming. God has told us about judgment that can come from a life of wickedness, from a life of sin. We know what the consequences will be. We know what will happen if we obey God. But a lack of works shows a lack of faith in God. Lack of obedience in God. What kind of faith do we have in God's commands? If we're going to have immediate obedience, our faith will be strong. Immediate obedience shows faith, and secondly, immediate obedience brings immediate results. Noah could have heard from God and had every intention of getting to the ark. He could have gone home and told his wife about it. He could have gone into his workshop and started drawing up his plans for the ark, and he could have started getting prepared and everything like that and talked about it and put it off. But it was not until he began to build it that he was in obedience. He could have procrastinated in his obedience. He could have had every intention. He could have, maybe God told him when the rain was going to come and when it needed to be ready by. And he could have kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And the busyness of life could have taken him and that first raindrop falls. He hadn't started the ark. He and his family would have had their lives ruined because of his lack of obedience. His immediate obedience brought immediate results. When God gives us a command, let's do it. When God pricks our heart in church, or when God pricks our heart or convicts us about something, let's make a change right away. Let's not put it off. That's good intentions to decide you're going to do it, but it's not obedience until we make the change, until we do what God has told us to do. He showed us immediate obedience. Secondly, tonight, he showed lasting obedience. Lasting obedience. You see, patience is required for lasting obedience. Now, we don't know exactly how long Noah was building the ark. You could research it. Some men like to say 120 years, because God said in 120 years he was going to destroy man. If you look at here in Genesis chapter 6, it talks about Noah being 500 years old when his sons were born, and then immediately after it talks about God coming to Noah, and many people think it was 100 years. Many people, you know, try to say it's around 50 years or 20 years. And the amount of time Noah built the ark doesn't matter. What matters is that Noah, no matter how long it took him, finished the ark, finished the job. And I know with being shorthanded, it probably took Noah a very long time to get this done. Noah was patient. Have you ever had a project that took you a long time to finish? You had a project that you started and you thought it'd be done much sooner than it was, or maybe you never even got it done. You gave up because it took so long and you ran out of patience in that project. Noah finished the task. No matter how long it took, he exercised patience in his work for the Lord. You know, I'm sure that Noah became tired. I'm sure that there were some setbacks in the preparation. I'm sure life circumstances may have made things a little difficult for Noah to do this, but Noah continued to obey God. If you give any man heavy tools or heavy machinery or give him some kind of tool for an extended period of time, he's going to hurt himself. And I'm sure Noah maybe ran into some obstacles in that way. But Noah continued to exercise patience and finished the task God had given him. Lasting obedience. Patience is required, and testing will come in lasting obedience. Testing will come. I believe that he was a very well-known man in the community. If you get one righteous man in a world full of wickedness and a community of wicked people, he's going to stand out a little bit. He's going to be different. If a man decided to build an ark in the middle of the desert that was very large, people are going to start talking. It's something that they're going to notice. It's something they're going to talk about. Something they're going to approach him about and ask him about. And I'm sure that Noah, being this righteous man, doing something that people saw as crazy, he was persecuted for that. We can read the story of Noah here, and it doesn't talk about him being persecuted. It doesn't talk about people coming to him. But I'm sure it happened. And there is no doubt in my mind that he faced persecution, and no doubt in my mind that maybe him and his family could have possibly been hurt or offended by it at times, but Noah continued to obey no matter what came his way. There's this man that had a very obedient dog. And he worked out in the forest, so he cut down trees, and he took his dog to work with him, and his dog did everything he told him to do. There's one day this man was sitting down eating lunch with his dog there in the forest, and he saw a fire off in the distance and some men screaming for help, and he stood up and he went to go help them, and he turned around and said, told his dog to stay. His dog stayed there by the lunch pail, and the man went off and tried to help put out this fire, and the fire began to overwhelm these men and get worse and worse and burnt down the forest. Man couldn't find his dog. He went around looking for him, and then he finally decided to go back to the place where he left him. And there, burnt to a crisp beside his lunch pail, beside that tree, was that dog. The man in tears said, "I always had to be careful what I told him to do because I knew he would do it." For that obedience in our life. For that obedience to the command of our master in our life. No matter what temptation may come, no matter what trial may come in our life, no matter what fire we may be going through, we need that lasting obedience in every trial. We saw that patience was shown in this lasting obedience. We see that trials will come. And also, if we continue to obey God and we have lasting obedience in our life, Christ will be preached. In this passage, we don't see Noah speaking to the people. But if you want to, you can turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. If not, I'll just read it for you. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "And spared not the old word, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." I don't believe that it's a coincidence that Noah is mentioned as a preacher of righteousness. I believe that Noah, while he was building this ark, was preaching to the people. I believe that if any man would approach him, that Noah would tell him why he was doing what he was doing. And Noah, being a righteous man, there's no way that he could be a righteous man unless he had care and love for the people and wanted them to repent and wanted them to do right and get on this boat. We know as we read this that there was only eight people that survived, and it was Noah and his wife and his sons and his son's wife. But Noah, being a righteous man, in his lasting obedience and people approaching him, Christ was preached through his life. God and righteousness was preached through Noah. No one repented. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3, verse 18, it says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the longsuffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water." God gave people time to repent. He gave people the time, and seeing Noah building this ark, they could have made a decision. They could have gotten right. They could have repented. And I'm sure Noah begged and pleaded and preached the repentance to them, but no one came. If we live a life of lasting obedience, if we live a life of making decisions whether the people around us are making them or not, if we live a life where when we do not give in to temptation, or where we continually, year after year, to obey God, Christ will be preached through our life. People are going to see a difference in us. They may ask us, they may persecute us, and we have an opportunity through that to preach Christ, to preach righteousness. He showed us lasting obedience. He showed us immediate obedience. He showed us lasting obedience. And thirdly tonight, it says he showed us complete obedience. Complete obedience. Complete obedience is exact obedience. His obedience was exactly what God had told him to do. He did exactly how God wanted it. There were no changes. Noah didn't, after God told him to build the ark, he didn't say, "God, are you sure you want me to build this out of the gopher wood? I have a friend that has a lot of cedar on his property. I can make it out of that." Or Noah didn't do that. He didn't say, "Are you sure we can put a little more windows in here, get a little more airflow, and I'm sure my wife would appreciate to see a little bit of light." He could have gotten rid of cats when he had the chance. Noah could have tried and get God to make some changes to this, but he did exactly what God wanted him to do. He built it exactly the way God wanted him to build it. Deuteronomy 4 verse 1 says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." We need to listen to the commands of God. We need to hear his statutes and live by them so we can do good with our lives. So we can completely and exactly obey God the way he's intended us to do it. We have the Bible to follow. We have this guidebook for our life, and something that we should take to heart, and something that we should obey completely. The Bible isn't there for us to choose and to pick how we want to live, or to choose and to pick what certain things we want to apply to our life. We either are obeying God completely, or we are not obeying him at all. It's not obedience unless it's complete obedience. You say, I know the Ten Commandments, I know what God's commanded us to do, and I know that God's commanded us to keep the Sabbath day holy and to come and worship him as he's asked us to do, but I don't understand why we need to come so many times a week. But I don't understand why we need to come to have these revival services, or have these men's or ladies' meetings, or to have these other certain get-togethers. I don't see the point in coming to those. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Not to forsake the congregating of the church to worship God together. The Bible says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." Yeah, I don't think that word separate really means to completely separate from the world. I'll tell them I'm a Christian. I'll do right. I'll go to church often. I'll read my Bible, but I don't see the point in separating in my standards. I don't see the point in separating in the music I listen to, or separating in the conversations at work, or separating in the shows I choose to watch, or the things I choose to do. It's not complete obedience unless we are separating from the world. This thing about tithing 10%, I don't know about you, but if I tithe 10%, that would really put me in a pinch. And I'll tithe 5%, or I'll give to God when I can. Sometimes I can give that, sometimes I can't. It's a command of God, and if we're not doing it, we are in disobedience. George MacDonald said, "I find the doing of the will of God leaves me no time for disputing about his plans." Complete obedience is crucial. You know, another thing, this is extra. Another thing I see in the ark is that there was no rudder. God didn't tell Noah to have plans to put this sail in. There wasn't a steering wheel in the captain's chambers of the ark. Noah got into the ark. God sealed him in. And Noah and his family went wherever the waters led them, wherever God intended for them to go. So many times we try to the steering wheel of our life. We try to choose our own direction. Try to make our own plans. We need to let God control our lives. We need to have complete surrender and complete giving ourselves to God. Let God control our outcome. Noah's complete obedience brought blessed results. His task was complete. When the rains and the flood swallowed up the earth, Noah's there in that ark. I'm pretty sure that Noah liked where he was. I don't think that Noah had a desire to be outside the ark at that moment. Noah was blessed. The day finally came after about a year and a month that Noah and his family were able to get off the ark. And the Bible says immediately after Noah got off the ark that he built an altar there for the Lord with those extra animals that God had them set aside. And God said that was a sweet savor to him. God blessed Noah and his family and made the covenant with them. And all the work, all the persecution, all the time he gave to obey God, it was all worth it. He was blessed. You know, Noah wasn't just blessed. Not only him, it was also his family that was blessed. You know, God will bless you through your obedience. He'll bless you through your complete obedience to him. But if you are completely obedient and it is lasting, it's not just going to affect you, but it's going to affect your family as well. It's going to help lead them in the right path. It's going to help them see God's blessings in your life. It's only going to encourage them to do right. It's going to affect them. The Bible says, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." From God's blessings, we need to be obedient. Henry Blackaby said, "You never find God asking persons to dream up what they want to do for him. Without doubt, the most important factor in each biblical situation was not what the individual wanted to do for God. The most important factor was what God was about to do." Let me say that again. The most important factor in each biblical situation was not what the individual wanted to do for God. The most important factor was what God was about to do. You know, great blessings are in store for us. And when God is using us and we are in that complete obedience to God, we can look forward to what God is going to do for us. Amen. We're going to look forward to the results of our obedience and the blessings that God has for our life. What a story. What an obedient man. What a man of God. What was the secret? Why was Noah so obedient? Why do we not see Noah challenging God at all on this? Why don't we see him saying, "God, are you sure about this?" and then obey? We don't see any of that. We see immediate, complete, lasting obedience in Noah's life. How did he do it? If you look back at the text with me in Genesis 6, verse 9. How was he so different from everyone else? How was he so obedient to God in his command? If you look in Genesis 6, verse 9, we'll find the answer. It says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Amen. We see from the story of Noah that obedience comes from a walk with God. When God spoke to Noah, Noah already knew his voice. When God gave Noah his command, Noah already trusted God. Noah already believed that God was going to take care of him in his life. Noah had already given himself over to God because Noah had a walk with God. He had a relationship with God. Before I even ask you how your obedience to God is tonight, and before we search ourselves and how obedient we are to God, we need to ask ourselves this question first. How is my walk with God? Are we reading our Bibles as we should? Are we talking to God on a daily basis? Are we asking Him for help in our lives? Are we responding to the preaching of the Word? Are we listening to God? You say, I want to obey God. I want to find myself doing right. I want to find myself one day in that blessed life. I want to have that lasting obedience, but I keep finding myself falling. I keep finding myself not doing right. I keep finding myself in these situations that I don't want to be in. Maybe it's because your walk with God isn't where it needs to be. Obedience comes from the walk. There was no special formula. There was nothing special about Noah that caused him to be so obedient. The only reason was because he was a man that walked with God. How's your walk tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Wednesday nights, we don't have a musical invitation, but the altar's always open. Noah had immediate obedience. He had lasting obedience. And he had complete obedience. And it all stemmed from his walk and relationship with God. Lord, we love you, God. We thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your word and what we get from it. Lord, I pray that you'd help every one of us tonight to be obedient Christians. Lord, I pray that we would obey, Lord, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the obstacles are around us. God, I pray that we would obey, Lord, immediately as soon as you prick our hearts. I pray that we make whatever changes necessary in our lives to be the Christian you'd have us to be. Lord, I pray that our obedience would not just bring blessings on our life, but would affect the lives of everyone around us. Lord, I pray that you would use our church to be an impact in this city, Lord. That you'd use us in our everyday lives to make a difference. God, and that we would obey you in every situation. Lord, we know that our obedience comes from our relationship with you, from our walk with you. And I pray that every one of us, Lord, would strive to know you better every day so we can be who you'd have us to be. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this evening. We ask all this in your name. Amen.